Siding Unlimited, named the best window installers, not just here, but in the whole USA. Get the best. Siding Unlimited, 5-time winner as America's best window installer. For windows you call Siding Unlimited, first and directly, SidingUnlimited.com.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios in downtown Milwaukee, it's Wisconsin's Midday News, making stories come to life. Now, here are your hosts, Greg Matzik and Jessica Todd.
And checking out the text line here, Steelers uniforms were like watching the movie Tron.
I saw that one.
Get that? Steelers uniforms looked like Banana Ball, the Savannah Bananas, of course. Charlie Brown uniform, one texter writes, and the jerseys, we've got a couple there.
A couple people thinking Charlie Brown's shirt.
I thought kind of a school bus looking. I thought road sign. I thought something different every time I saw it, but none of it was flattering.
My first reaction was, whoa. I thought it looked more like a Power Rangers costume or something like that.
Soon to be available inside the Pittsburgh Steelers Pro Shop at a discounted price.
Not by Lululemon.
109 here on WTMJ. Big stories we're following on Monday afternoon.
And now it's time for three big things on Wisconsin's Midday News.
Number one, Hurricane Melissa is now a Category 5 storm. The system is barreling towards Jamaica with winds up to 160 miles per hour. Catastrophic and life-threatening winds, flooding, and storm surge are expected on Jamaica tonight and tomorrow morning. Officials are concerned the slow speed of this storm could mean it impacts the island for 24 hours. CBS News correspondent Jason Allen is in the capital, Kingston. He says officials are now telling people to stay where they are.
Some of the structures that are built up on the waterfront, and yes, some of these are just fishing shacks, but to their left, there are places where people stay. And under 24 hours of winds like this, it's questionable how long places like that are going to be safe places to stay.
Some of the U.S. Navy ships in the region have been repositioned to avoid the direct path of this hurricane. About 1,000 military personnel have already been evacuated from Gitmo.
Number two, preliminary construction work on the I-94 East-West project in Milwaukee is officially underway. Get excited, everybody. The project covers about 3.5 miles of I-94 between 70th Street and 16th Street in Milwaukee. The purpose, improve safety, reduce congestion, and replace aging infrastructure on the heavily tracked stretch of freeway. The reality, headaches for your commute in and out of downtown. You're not going to notice it today so much. The most significant road closures will begin the week of November 3rd. A single lane will be closed in each direction of I-94 between 70th and Zablocki. So going west, going east. Also, long-term closure of the Hawley Road interchange, the southbound ramp from 175 to westbound 94, closed. And the entrance ramp from 68th Street to eastbound 94 will also be closed. So if you're coming into downtown and you're kind of wondering what to do around the Blue Mound area and the traffic is locked up, maybe you take 94 westbound, maybe you get off at 84th Street, hoping to take the frontage road and pop back on at 68th. Not that I'd ever done that before. You will not be able to do that because 68th will be closed off. So these are our major closures during this stretch of freeway that'll be worked on until 2028. And it's only phase one of the project here. So you'll start noticing those closures beginning next week.
Yeah, drivers are going to have to get used to some new routes without a doubt. Number three, we now know when Sean Diddy Combs will get out of prison. He's been in federal custody for more than a year now. Diddy was found guilty this month of federal crimes. CBS's Matt Piper is in New York with the breaking news today.
Records from the Bureau of Prisons show Sean Diddy Combs won't be released from federal custody until May 8, 2028. The 55-year-old was sentenced to 50 months behind bars for convictions on prostitution charges in his federal criminal case. He's still in the same facility he's been in since his arrest in 2024, the Metropolitan Detention Center in Brooklyn. President Trump said earlier this month that Combs asked him for a pardon.
Combs was found not guilty of racketeering, conspiracy, and 2 counts of sex trafficking.
112 on WTMJ. Coming up next, with FEMA aid denied, what is next for recovering communities in Milwaukee County, specifically Wauwatosa? Mayor Dennis McBride joins us after this.
What now? That's the question many people are asking now that the Trump administration has denied Wisconsin's federal disaster request in the wake of our historic flooding in August. Where will our communities get the money to rebuild and recover? Governor Tony Evers plans to file an appeal that could happen as early as today, but there's no assurance anything will change. The Trump administration has denied public assistance for Milwaukee, Waukesha, Ozaukee, Washington, Grant, and Door counties. Something to note, this does not impact FEMA assistance for individuals. Joining us live now to discuss is Wauwatosa Mayor Dennis McBride. We're so glad to have you back, Mayor.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
First, what was your immediate reaction to the denial in funding? Did you anticipate this, or did you think Milwaukee County had a good shot at getting the federal money?
Well, in a word, my reaction was disappointment. To answer your bigger question, did I anticipate this? The Trump administration has, well, President Trump has said that he wants to abolish FEMA, and the administration has not been coming forth with funding in a lot of disaster areas across the country, for example, North Carolina after Hurricane Helene. So we weren't sure where that stood. We were somewhat optimistic in that it was a bipartisan request from all of the Republican and Democratic Congress people in our state, but all we got, and it was a good amount for private property owners, but not for public property owners.
So I think Jessica put it in perfect terms at the start of the conversation here, Mayor McBride. Now what? So what happens now? I know there's an appeal process that Wisconsin will exercise here, but what do you do in the interim?
Well, let me just say I'm less optimistic about the appeal. I hope never dies, but assuming that the appeal does not go forward or it does not result in success, we have really maybe three options. The first is the hope that maybe the state would come through with some help. I don't know where that stands. There is a surplus up there, but the governor and the legislature have not proven themselves able to work very well together over the last number of years. Assuming that that falls through, which is probably likely, we're left with really two options. Don't repair the damage, or increased property taxes for our residents, which is, and our commercial property owners, which is not palatable, but the only thing we have left after that.
And you know there are people who are going, an increase in property taxes. Can you remind people how much damage there is in Wauwatosa from the village to Hart Park, and what kind of amount of money we're talking about to repair and rebuild?
I don't have a number for the private property owners, but I can tell you that was considerable. There was a lot of damage to homes, probably hundreds of homes and businesses, mostly along Menominee River Parkway. For our public property, mostly centered on Hart Park, which is our primary park in the historic village retail area of Wauwatosa, the damage is approximately $5 million. And we expect that, well, we got a $1 million donation from a private foundation, and we have some insurance. We expect that ultimately we'll be on the hook for $2 to $2.5 million.
That is a staggering amount still, Mayor McBride. So you're obviously hoping that, you know, FEMA can't assist, but like you said, you're not really hopeful that will be the case. Hart Park is part of the backbone of Wauwatosa, right? Beautiful area and used for so many different community gatherings. What do you do?
Not just for our community, but for communities across the area. Marquette High School, for example, uses our stadium as its home field, and that's a Milwaukee high school. So people come from all over for Hart Park, because we're right in the middle of the metro area, and it's a beautiful facility. What we do is we're going to have to make some tough decisions. For example, the stadium, we at least break even, if not make a little bit of money on, because we can rent it out. The softball field is a total loss. To restore it will cost between $600,000 and $1 million, just that field, and we make no money on that. It's a loser for us. So the Common Council is going to have to decide whether, for the first time in 100 years, we're going to have a baseball or softball field down there. So that's one very hard decision we have to make. But again, our taxpayers, you know, we're all burdened by taxes, and the state legislature doesn't give us any option other than property taxes, really, for raising funds. And the school district just had a referendum last year, and the voters voted for it, and that impact is going to be felt in this year's tax bill for the first time, and it's going to be considerable. So, and then we had a revaluation as well, a reassessment of all our properties, and so people are wondering what the impact's going to be. Let's just say that the 1,000-year flood came at a very bad time for it.
I know you can't give us an exact number on a property tax increase, but you know there's going to be pushback to that. Would there be a plan B if the plan A with a property tax increase doesn't happen? Where would you go as far as cutting costs elsewhere? Where could you in Wauwatosa right now?
I've had a few calls this weekend because I was quoted elsewhere as saying it could mean a property tax increase for our residents. Of course, again, not popular. I answered a few calls today and I said, we're at the breaking point. All communities in Wisconsin are, because again, the legislature puts too much emphasis on the property tax. Wisconsin, probably more than any other state in the country, funds its municipalities almost entirely through property taxes. Other states allow local sales taxes, or they share more of the sales taxes collected by the state with the municipalities. 100 years ago, a state income tax was put in, and the promise then was that the state would return 70% of that to municipalities, and it now returns about 10% of it. So the legislature needs to come through. So what do we do? Well, plan B is, again, doing nothing. But that means we have a beautiful park that isn't usable. People are going to demand that we do something with it. Cutting other places, but we don't have places to cut, which is one of the reasons why we're considering a merger of our fire department with West Dallas. Under state law, our finance director tells me we can do a one-time tax increase and pay for that $2.5 million, or we can spread it out by borrowing the money and reduce the impact year by year. But of course, in the long run, with interest, that just means it'll cost more, but that may be an approach we can take to ease some of the burden, some of the pain for our taxpayers. Let me point out that Wauwatosa isn't alone. Milwaukee was severely damaged. West Dallas was severely damaged. Brown Deer and Glendale and other communities had damage. County Executive Crowley the other day said that the county has a $30 million bill for the damages and no way to pay for it.
Mayor McBride, is there any resources available at the state level, any sort of emergency fund that you could apply to tap into or anything along that line?
Again, there's a surplus at the state level of millions of dollars. I don't know what the number is at this point. The recent budget, state budget, tapped into some of that, but there's still money there. It really comes down to whether there's any willingness at the state level to help us out. Now that FEMA has denied the money, maybe that discussion will start. We'll certainly ask our state representatives for help, and they want to help us on that. But there is no program that I'm aware of that we could just tap into.
Mayor, I'm curious, how did you learn about the denial? Did you get a separate notice? Did you find out from Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley, or did you learn from the governor like the rest of us?
I learned through the staff. The staff got the notifications. I believe they got it from the governor and the county executive.
That's Wauwatosa Mayor Dennis McBride. Thank you so much for joining us today on Midday.
Well, it's always a pleasure to talk to you, even under difficult circumstances. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I was looking at the pictures of Hart Park after the flooding, and it looked unrecognizable. The turf field, and it gets a lot of use, right? He mentioned Marquette University High School plays football games there. So does Wauwatosa East High School. They use it for some, you know, minor league football, for lack of a better term. There's lacrosse practices happening on. It's constantly in use. The community uses the track itself just sort of on a daily basis. And the turf field looked like ribbon candy.
Exactly. That's exactly
that was
how I described
view.
It. Ribbons. Yes. And it looked like there was sand all along the edges.
Yes. I mean, like a motocross course, yeah, or something like that. So that is a significant undertaking just to get that specific area of Hart Park. It's a very big park and a beautiful park. Some areas weren't damaged as much, and some, you know, grass will grow back, and you can do some grading and, you know, make sure it's all good to go. But the park itself that holds that area of the track, and Wauwatosa Curling Club is back there, which is a great historic building as part of that park as well, right across the Menominee River. It just looks so significant. And now to even think about money being cut short for the repair of something that the community and beyond the community of Wauwatosa uses, that's a gut punch. And I'm sure it is to many who live in that area.
Yeah, this is a big blow for Milwaukee County, but also Waukesha County, Ozaukee County, Washington County, Grant County, and Door County. Door County was impacted in a different way. I mean, down here in southeastern Wisconsin, we had all the flooding, but the storms were different up there. It was the wind, the intense wind that just took down trees everywhere. So a big blow for a lot of counties in our state.
Pleasant day today. Colors starting to pop in southeastern Wisconsin. Even more beautiful when it's under the sunny skies that we have on a day like today.
So true. Great day to go out and take pictures of the colorful leaves.
So good that we decided to send Lauren Larson out on a field trip. TMJ4 meteorologist is out in southeastern Wisconsin at Holy Hill. When I think about fall color, Lauren, that's one of the first places that comes to my mind.
Yeah, definitely. This is the first time I've ever been to Holy Hill, and certainly not disappointed. It is beautiful. There's orange, red, green, brown. A lot of the leaves are still on the trees, but there are quite a few on the ground. So we are kind of coming to that time of year where you have to get out and check it out before it's too late.
I'm curious. I know it's back to work for most people today, but is it busy? Are you seeing other people out there right now just trying to capture the colors with their cameras?
Yeah, there are. We've talked to a few people that are out and about. A few people we talked to are retired, so they said they were lucky to be out here on a Monday. There was also a field trip of middle schoolers. So I think that's probably more of who you're seeing during the week.
The other question I have here, it's been pretty breezy, and I was looking at the forecast. It looks like tomorrow's going to be breezy, Wednesday's going to be breezy too. Are our trees going to be able to hold on to those leaves with these breezes?
You know, it is getting hard, and like I mentioned, we are seeing a lot of leaves on the ground, so gusty conditions, I mean, gusting to 25 today and tomorrow, probably gusting to 30 on Wednesday, that is definitely going to take a lot of the leaves off the trees. So I would say get out while you can in the next couple of days before, I think, you know, early November, we're probably going to see bare trees.
Are you perched up high in the steeple, by the way? Did you climb all the stairs? You all the way up at the top?
No, not yet. We got off air at 1 from our noon show and taking a little bit of a break, and then we will climb this afternoon, check it out, and then we'll be on the platform at the 4 p.m. show.
Beautiful.
That's the plan.
Beautiful.
Oh, you're going to have to check that out on TMJ4. That's going to be an awesome shot. I love that. Okay, so we've got kind of cloudy. Well, today's beautiful. We got sunny skies today, cloudy tomorrow. When does our next chance for rain come in?
Well, the good news is that there really isn't a lot of rain in the forecast. The next chance is probably Tuesday night throughout the day on Wednesday. But the closer we get to that, the more we're seeing those model runs come in. Most of that rain does stay south of Wisconsin. We are still putting a chance for rain as we look towards, again, Tuesday night into Wednesday, but I'm not expecting much, if anything. Then the chance does get a little bit better as we look towards Sunday. Overall, it's going to be pretty dry end to October.
Yeah, kind of a holding pattern here, temperatures in the 50s throughout the course of the week. Hey, Lauren, while we got you, I do want to ask you about the situation in the Caribbean right now. Category 5 hurricane developing. Jamaica looks like it's right in the path of where this hurricane is heading. This is scary stuff. I know it's kind of later in the hurricane season, but certainly the impact shouldn't be minimized.
Yeah, definitely. It is late in the hurricane season. I didn't even think about that. Hurricane season, I believe, ends either November 1st or November 30th. I can't remember. But we're getting towards the end. It hasn't been all that active. This is Hurricane Melissa, so we're obviously only halfway through the alphabet. Currently rated at a Category 5 storm. Winds are around 175 miles an hour. Gusting as high as 200 miles an hour. It is expected to make landfall in Jamaica as a Category 5 storm. That would be the worst storm they've seen since keeping weather records. So not only is it the gusty winds and really the direct impact that's going to cause feet of storm surge, it is really just a slow-moving storm. So it's going to just sit and spin and dump rain. Looking at rainfall totals in Jamaica, estimated about 2 to 3 feet of rain in some places. And then, of course, storm surge as high as 10 to 15 feet. Along with those winds, it is going to be absolutely devastating. Once it's looking to make landfall early Tuesday morning right now. So it's only about 100 miles off the coast of Jamaica. However, it's just moving so, so slow. Once it goes over Jamaica, it'll weaken a bit. And then next, we're looking at Cuba Wednesday morning, I believe. And that should be about a Category 3 storm. So it is going to, Jamaica is going to take that direct hit. And then weaken it as it does head towards Cuba.
So, Lauren, what causes it to just sit and spin, like you mentioned, where it doesn't look like it's moving at all? It's just constant rotation and just not moving through the mass of land.
You know, there's just some storms that are faster and some that are slower, and this one is just a slow one.
It's a scary situation, no doubt, in the Caribbean. We appreciate it. Lauren Larson, enjoy your time at Holy Hill. We'll check in again soon.
Yes, beautiful. Enjoy.
I will. I'll be sure to post lots of pictures on Facebook.
Yeah, please do. 144 here on WTMJ.
Pressure coming. He picked it up. Inside. Kraft's got it. At the 10. Kraft running away to the end zone. He has two touchdowns.
You see that? I do this.
Oh, that was a call from Mike Tirico on Sunday Night Football. Two touchdowns for Tucker Kraft. Three touchdowns in the final quarter. The Packers pull away from the Steelers 35-25. A little pack-ack here on a Monday edition of Wisconsin's Midday News. And, of course, the big storyline going into the game was Aaron Rodgers going up against his former team, and while it may have felt a little different if this game would have been played at Lambeau Field, still a very meaningful opportunity for Rodgers to defeat the Packers, the only team in the NFL he has not defeated, and that's why he was at the stadium about 4 hours before game time, out on the field, throwing warm-ups, saying hi to people that he knew from his time in Green Bay. It was a storyline that was played up, and the game itself lived up, I think, to its hype. That was a very entertaining football game in which the Packers found their way to win.
I loved it. Rodgers downplayed the significance of playing his old team. He said this was not a revenge game. He said he loves the Packers. He feels like he grew up with the team. He plans to eventually retire in green and gold. And he also mentioned, which is true, not many of the same guys. So ultimately just downplaying the significance of the game. But I liked the commentators at one point in the middle of the game. One of them asked, "Did you believe him?" And the other guy answered, "Not for a second." I mean, right. that game meant something to him, without a doubt.
Well, no doubt it is. And, you know, Aaron is about legacy. Winning another Super Bowl adds to his legacy. Defeating all of the teams in the NFL, that would also add to his legacy. So maybe he falls a little bit short. What I thought was most interesting is what Rodgers said post-game about his ability to hear when he was on the field.
Yeah. I've heard that chant for 18 years, so Packer fans travel really well. First time in a while I've used silent count for a home game. That's a credit to those Packer fans.
Silent count for a home game. So the silent count is this. You play in the NFL and some environments are just deafening. You can't hear. Like the old Metrodome, or even when the Packers go to Detroit or play in any sort of domed setting, all the conversation is, well, you got to go to silent count. Nobody's going to be able to hear Jordan Love at the line of scrimmage, so the silent count, hand signals, right? A little tap on the right side of the thigh and you get the ball snapped to you. Well, typically, quarterbacks don't have to do that on their own home field, but Rodgers had to do that yesterday. And I think I underestimated when you and I talked about this prior to the weekend, how many fans would be in Pittsburgh. I was like, well, I think a lot of them went to Arizona for that game, and a lot did. That felt like a home game for the Packers.
Oh, there were tons. Yeah, it looked like a home game. And we were talking about the weather. You know, the weather's better down in Arizona. But, man, no. Pittsburgh, Packers fans packed Pittsburgh. It was really cool to see, especially at the beginning, too, when they took this wide shot. And then they would zoom in to tight shots of the fans and how many Packers jerseys were there. But there were also a couple of people. I liked this. There were some people wearing their Packers jerseys. And then some of those same people actually holding an old Aaron Rodgers Packers jersey.
There you go.
They right? weren't wearing that one, but yeah, they had it there, and I don't know, maybe they're hoping to get an autograph or something with it.
Well, it was an interesting game to watch. Packers got off to a quick start, and then it was kind of a lull for, you know, the better part of two quarters here, the second and third quarter.
Then we were down.
Then trailing at halftime, trailing by 9 at halftime, and all of a sudden an explosion in the fourth quarter. in which the Packers scored three touchdowns.
They were hot.
The Steelers just could not keep up. That offense is limited right now. They don't have a ton of weapons. Their defense is just flat out bad. And on a national stage, the mentee outdueled the mentor.
I thought J-Lo played great. And he was super efficient. You know, he didn't get sacked, moved around really well, made some plays outside the pocket. Thought he played outstanding.
So if it looked like watching that game, Jordan Love just did none of the balls that he was throwing were hitting the ground, it's because that's what was happening.
What did 20 he have, like,
straight completions.
20 straight completions.
That's crazy.
I mean, it just looked good. And I love that feeling as a fan when you just know your quarterback is going to throw it and somebody's going to catch it. Now, that sounds silly. It sounds so easy, right? But it's not. And when you just have that confidence that that's going to happen, that's a whole new ballgame.
It is. And the numbers are really eye-popping here for Jordan Love. So 20 consecutive passes completed, 360-plus yards passing, three touchdowns, no turnovers, no sacks. Put all that together, no quarterback in NFL history has done that all in the same game.
That is awesome.
Ever.
And I love that Jordan Love said before the game that he always wants to beat the Steelers, but especially this week, he wanted to beat the Steelers with Aaron Rodgers. I mean, he came out, he was honest about it. He wanted to beat him. The two of them, they still keep in touch. They text back and forth, but apparently not before this game. The week before, no texting, no texting among the two. I just love learning those little details about it. And then Love wants Aaron's jersey. He was hoping to get it after the game, but as we heard in a soundbite earlier that we had, I think in our Now at Noon, he said, that's going to happen at some point. Oh, yeah, late, right here, huh? This is what they talked about after the game, because I was curious. You're watching, you know, the camera gets right up in there, and then they're exchanging some pleasantries or something else, right? Well, here's what they said, according to Love.
Yeah, man, it was quick. You know, just said good game. You know, obviously, keep going for the rest of the season. Want him to stay healthy, and, you know, that I got a lot of love for him. So it was very fun to go against him, and told him that I needed that jersey. We're going to exchange those at a later time.
And they saw each other for the first time during the coin toss, which I also found interesting because Aaron Rodgers came out 3 hours before the start of that game. So he was chatting with some people and a lot of the coaches and saying hello. And, you know, he hadn't seen them for a while, but he didn't see Love during those 3 hours. So it wasn't until the coin toss, just moments before the game, that they saw each other for the first time, gave each other a hug.
It's amazing how different these quarterbacks that have grown to superstardom in Green Bay are, right? Brett Favre was the all shucks, right? He'd run through a brick wall for you. He'd throw a terrible interception, then have three of the most incredible touchdown pass you've ever seen, all in the same game, right? Rodgers was precision in his control of the football. And Jordan Love is somewhere in between. Here's the one thing that you always notice about Jordan Love. You look at his face when he's on the field, you don't know if they're winning or losing. You have no idea. Right, Aaron runs a little hot sometimes, and he'll let his receiver know if they're in the wrong spot.
Oh, he definitely had some eyes rolling last night.
For sure.
That one shot that the camera guy got, I was like, oh, yeah, that's the money shot right there. You know, he's like, yes, I caught him, because he was sitting there. You know, the Steelers were down at that point. It wasn't looking so good, and Aaron Rodgers was sitting back, and he kind of just put his head back and rolled his eyes.
Yep, he has those moments. Like, you can look at Aaron's face, and you can tell. Is he upset right now, or is he pleased? And you just don't know with Jordan Love. He is so even keel throughout the course of a game, whether he's completed 20 passes in a row or thrown two interceptions on back-to-back passes. He never wavers. And I think that's part of what Matt LaFleur was alluding to when this team was down at halftime and found a way to come back.
The greatest thing I saw from our guys was I didn't see any panic. They stayed together, and we cleaned up some things that we didn't do in the first half. And just made plays.
They finished. They found a way to finish a game. Earlier this year, the Packers would get off to this crazy fast start. And all of a sudden, you look at the score at the end of the game, it's like, well, wow, they didn't really do much in the second half. And the other team kind of got back into that to make it look a little more interesting. Kind of a different case here in which the Packers started with that touchdown, and then it was kind of a quiet couple of quarters, and then they just exploded in the fourth quarter. So they found a way to catch up to the Steelers and then win going away. They finished.
It was an awesome end to the game, without a doubt. Something else that I took note of when the commentators were talking about Aaron Rodgers, one of them said, this is as reflective as they have ever seen Aaron Rodgers. And that was really interesting because Aaron Rodgers, leading up to the week, was talking about a lot of his memories. But that's also when the one guy said, I didn't believe him for one bit, though, that this game isn't that important to him and that it's not a revenge game. He's like, I didn't believe him at all. But he just said, this is a very interesting Aaron Rodgers right now.
it is different, right? It is reflective. Remember, go back to week one when the Packers, when the Steelers beat the Jets. Aaron said after that game he wanted to do everything possible to beat the Jets, and he found that very satisfying. Very different sentiments going into this game against the Packers, and Aaron even said, look, when I retire, I will retire as a Packer, and there will be a homecoming. He'll end up back in Green Bay. He'll be honored at the 50-yard line. That all is coming for Aaron Rodgers, no doubt about it. Good win for the Packers, though, 5-1-1 now after seven games.